This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
When we remember Ivan Sanderson, I was out at his farm once or twice.
Oh, boy, you had the chance to meet him? Oh, boy.
Yeah, three or four times, at least that, maybe more. Boy. I wasn't a friend of his, but I would go out with Jim Moseley.
Oh, you know Jim Moseley, too?
Oh, my God. I was the first full-time employee of Saucer News.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I didn't know that.
Jim and I go back to the early 60s. I was a teenager in Brooklyn, New York. And I had purchased a copy of Jim's Saucer News from Samuel Weiser. And I wrote a letter. And Jim called me. And then as I grew older, I helped him out with his monthly meetings in New York City. I remember him during his brief marriage to this crazy woman named Sandra, who's probably listening now and will now write me nasty letters. Although she did produce a sign for the front entrance of my son's bedroom when he was still living at home with us.
Jim was on the Paracast. He was probably been on the show practically more than anybody.
He was on the first episode. The first episode of the Paracast, which was February 28th, 2006, we had Brad Steiger, who helped name the Paracast, by the way, because originally we were going to call it Paracast World. He said, why not just the Paracast? And we said, yeah. And then we had Jim Moseley. So it was a 90-minute show at that time, half Moseley, half Steiger. And when you look at Jim Moseley through the years, we had him on maybe a very, very few months before he died. So all totaled, we had Moseley on 16 times. Whenever I needed a guest and I didn't have anybody that week, I'd say, Jim, guess what you're doing?
Gene, you were going to tell the story about visiting Ivan Sanderson's farm?
It's something I barely remember. I remember being taken out on a long trip. I think it was Blairstown, New Jersey or something like that. Really out in the boondocks. And I wasn't a big person about that. But we went into his living room and we hung out for a while. And we talked shop. And maybe that happened once or twice.
Living room filled with African artifacts and Tibetan dorjes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of strange things there. But strangely enough, the home I remember most was not Ivan Sanderson, but Charles Berlitz. Because his workroom, his home office, was built from a ship's cabin.
Wow.
It was lonely at the top.
Well, if I ever get there, I'll figure it out.
Did Sanderson have animals?
I'm sure he did, but like I said, I barely remember it. For some reason, it's one of those things that really did make a huge impression. Possibly I was tired or something.
Right.
And
right,
after the long trip, I was just glad to sit down and have a soft drink or maybe a bite to eat for lunch. It wasn't a long visit, maybe an hour or two.
Right.
And we did this once or twice.
Well, this is 50 years ago. It's half a century ago.
Who were you with?
It would be with Jim Moseley. One time we flew to the Midwest. We met Jacques Vallée shortly after he wrote his first book. And then we saw Ray Palmer. How many people met Ray Palmer?
Not many. Wow, that is something to talk
and
about.
So
you went out to Wisconsin?
We went to Amherst, Wisconsin.
Did you have a chance to meet Shaver?
Oh, yeah. I knew Shaver very well.
Oh, my gosh.
I met Shaver at his cottage that he and his wife lived in Summit, Arkansas, a few years before his death. And I interviewed him. Palmer, I interviewed in the 1960s. And then I interviewed him for a couple of radio shows in the 70s. Because I had the way to simply pick up the phone and call him. He'd answer. Most people, Palmer would not talk to. But with me, I called, he'd answer. I don't know why. So I got to know him a little bit. Shaver, I used to have hundreds or maybe thousands of letters from Shaver.
Any of the art?
lots of the art. I know my first wife, Geneva, has a lot more.
Oh, my gosh. You actually have those. Yeah, you know, someone finally put a book out on them.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, I am fascinated by those.
Palmer's son, I mean.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about Palmer or Shaver?
I'm talking about Shaver's art.
I'm talking about the rock art.
Right.
This is where you have these little pieces of rock, and supposedly he was able to pick out crystal records of the ancients. And most people, it was a Rosetch test. You look at it and you think you see something. And then somewhere a year or two before Geneva and I split up, this is maybe 1975, 74, we got the knack. We look at those pictures and say, yeah, I see what he's talking about.
Right.
I don't know whether I would have it now if I looked at one of those things. But it's one of those things where it just sort of clicks. Mm-hmm. It's almost like learning music, where one day you wake up and something clicks, and then you're in.
Well, yeah, but is it reality, or is it just your pareidolia, in your mind?
Well, from what I understand, the way his technique was, he would take slices of rock that were so thin, he could project light through them. And then he would project it onto a surface, like maybe a canvas. I don't know what he worked on. And then make the drawings and bring out what he said was there. So a lot of it were these erotic shapes and monster faces. You know, they were all Diros and things like that, that he saw in the rocks. Because he said they were books. They were records.
Right. They kept crystalline records.
Right.
And we said, this is outlandish. And now, of course, there's a flash drive.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But it's very funny. A lot of people just dismiss Shaver. They say he was schizophrenic or something. Maybe he was, but he's still fascinating.
Well, he spent a number of years in a mental institution.
Yes.
And according to the book on Shaver written by Richard Taranto, who was on the show a couple of years back, and he has a sequel to that book, he may have been railroaded there because the family wouldn't have anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. Because they thought he was a kind of a whack job. But Palmer's relationship with Shaver was really, really very unusual. Because as much as he promoted Shaver, he sometimes didn't act in his best interests. The revelation that Shaver had been in a mental institution, that goes back to my interview with Palmer in the 60s, where he said this. He just dropped it in the middle of something. Never said it before publicly. But he did, and then Shaver said, no, I wasn't, but of course he was.
Right. Because there were a few years that he didn't account for, and those were the ones that he spent in the mental institution, if I remember correctly.
Exactly. We can talk all day about Palmer and
Shaver.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's so easy to do that, but it's exciting for me to talk to someone who met people that I'm so fascinated by.
Since you raised the issue, what was your reaction and opinion about Shaver and what he said? Because this takes us back to the breakaway civilizations conversations we've had in the Paracast lately.
You mean about the whole idea of Diros and Chiros and all that?
The whole idea of there being another civilization on Earth. Tenants in the building. It doesn't have to be Diros or Chiros, but that's a fairly common legend with different words and different names.
It is. It's a funny thing because...
And I thought we weren't going to discuss this, folks, but you know what?
Well, I think that Shaver is fascinating because he is the sort of person that could have almost started a religion. He could have almost, he is the kind of person that starts a mythology. And I guess that does relate a little bit to the Bye Bye Man because that was an experiment, a casual psychical research experiment that I could see becoming a part of American folklore. Likewise, someone like Shaver, perhaps he was mentally ill, perhaps he did have delusions, but he was able to put it together, between him and Palmer, they were able to put it together into this coherent and fascinating view of a world in a world that explained so many of the oddities in our world. It explained psychical phenomena. There were the Diros with their detro rays. Was it detro rays?
There were telog rays. We've got to cover more of this because it's inevitable. that things fall into places you don't expect. Robert Damon Schneck, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Here's Dr. Paul Meyer, Christian psychiatrist, author of 85 books, and founder of the national chain Meyer Clinics, to tell you about To Your Health liquid vitamins.
I've been taking these every day for over a decade now, and I try to encourage every one of my clients to take them every day. And there's a number of reasons. First of all, it's the best vitamin you can get. It's got dozens of vitamins, antioxidants, and nutrients in it. And then the most important reason why I do it as a psychiatrist and recommend it to my patients is because it's got brain food in it. It's got the essential amino acids. It's got tryptophan, phenylalanine, tyrosine, choline, vitamin B6, and these chemicals that are all natural from food turn into the brain chemicals that make you happy.
To Your Health is delicious. Find out more today. Call us 800-801-3459 or visit online at mytoyourhealth.com. Use the coupon code RADIO15 for a 15% discount on your order. That's mytoyourhealth.com.
This is Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year, in addition to the emotional stress on employees and their families. That's why Famous Footwear is committed to raising funds to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in the March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You notice that when Chris says the Paracast, he no longer sounds, well, the G word. He sounds more happy, more upbeat. That's so good. Robert Damon Schneck, author of Bye Bye Man and other works, joining us. But we somehow plopped into the mystery of Richard Shaver and the legends of another civilization that escaped the catastrophe that occurred. Maybe this is all about the flood and Noah and everything, and some beings escaped into the caverns, and they still exist there. The good guys being the Tiros, the bad guys being the Deros, the Telog Rays, they're able to control your mind. It's a mind control machine that can make you do anything they want.
And, you know, one of the things that really was so fascinating about the Shaver mystery was that when Ray Palmer put it out there, he began to get letters from people who had had similar experiences.
You know, this is not fiction, folks. There was an article in Life magazine about the phenomenon where as soon as the Shaver story started, and this is a whole thing that maybe some of you have heard, Ray Palmer edited Amazing Stories for Ziff Davis. Now you think of Ziff Davis, there is still a company called Ziff Davis, but they just have online publications. But in those days, you had a pulp magazine, the original science fiction magazine, created by Hugo Gernsback. Look him up. Amazing Stories. He runs the Shaver stuff, and before he does, he goes to his publisher and says, you know what? I think we're going to really make a big deal. But this is happening, what, during World War II, the end days of World War II, they're rationing paper, okay? They're rationing paper. So they needed to get enough paper to improve the print run. And they ultimately doubled the circulation of Amazing Stories, receiving what Palmer claims to be thousands and thousands of letters from people who said what Shaver said was true, even though the original stories were presented as pulp science fiction, you know, kind of in the spirit of Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also wrote for Amazing in his final years. And then he was getting all these letters and people saying, no, this is the truth. As soon as the publisher cracked down and stopped Shaver and stopped allowing Palmer to run those stories, the circulation went back to its former level.
Well, you know, one of the things that is so interesting about that is that Palmer's could have turned the Shaver mystery into the UFO mystery, which, of course, he played an important part in. At least Teal really gives him credit for almost inventing the whole UFO mystery. I don't know why the Shaver mystery didn't take off the way UFOs did, but there seemed to be something happening during that period. There was almost a growth of mythology going on, because that was also when we were, you know, it would be soon after that we would be getting people who would be claiming to be in contact with the Space Brothers and the Venusians and all, you know, we'd be having the contactees. So there was something very important happening during that time. These mythologies were being born. If you believe that, that's something else. But I think we can say that there are mythologies surrounding these things.
Also with the Bye Bye Man, we see the same kind of rollover sort of snowballing effect as well, which we should dovetail at some point into how we're still seeing this kind of cultural progression of meme in the culture. And I think it's fascinating. And I think you bring up a good point that maybe if Shaver had been a little bit more coherent and sane and mm-hmm. hadn't been led around in a literary sense by Palmer somewhat, that he really could have maximized the potential with this and created his own cult of personality and, like you said, created a whole genre of cultural mythos.
Yeah, I think that's very possible. There were a bunch of very attractive, interesting people, though, who were the UFO contactees. And they were able to do things like the meetings at the Boulder. Van Tassel had the meetings at Giant Rock.
Giant Rock, yeah.
Yeah, so they were able to do it better. The Shaver mystery was so dependent on Shaver and Palmer so much that I don't think it took off independently the way the flying saucers did.
And also, it did also require, I think, a few extra steps of belief there. Because it's not just E.T. coming here and maybe they bring some spaceships, but an entire civilization coexisting with us.
Yeah, it's a little bit more scary sounding. I mean, it's a lot easier to accept the possibility that something is coming here and visiting and then maybe leaving. But to have something under your feet that's manipulating your mental processes and whatnot, that's a little bit more difficult, I think, for people to brace, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Well, Palmer did also touch on that a little bit with the Hollow Earth, because he said that the flying saucers were coming from the Hollow Earth. So it combined the two, that there were civilizations under our feet, but they were also flying saucers.
But it got really complicated with Palmer, because he first talks about the flying saucers, and he was co-founder of Fate magazine, where a lot of the flying saucer stuff appeared. He was friends with, of course, Kenneth Arnold, and we have that entire Maury Island affair.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, and possibly there's some truth to this, that the arrival of the flying saucers, at least in the modern era, was very much predicted by Shaver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But then Palmer started moving into other theories. So now he's talking about the holes at the poles, which mm-hmm. is like Pellucidar, the novels
right.
from Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Right.
Okay, that's one thing. Now, the second thing that gets even crazier, because he talks about the holes of the poles and then says the holes of the poles are not in this reality. They are in an alternate reality. They're in the astral.
Oh, see, I didn't know he got into that.
Oh, yeah. Got pretty crazy. Let's get back to Bye Bye Man and all
sure,
this mystery.
Sure.
Because we have this little interesting thing here, which is called an open, spontaneous conversation, and it takes us to places we don't expect. I didn't expect Shaver, Palmer, and flying saucers. I expected vampirism
and
Bye-Bye Man. Now, looking at this now, was this a real story, or is it something that you think maybe some of the journalists looking to sell papers invented?
Okay, the Bye-Bye Man was a story that happened to a friend of mine. I'll just tell the story for people that don't know it. Back in 1990, three students who went to school in Wisconsin got an old Ouija board. And it was winter, and they had a lot of free time. So they decided to do some experiments with it. Now, my friend's name is Eli. He was dating a girl named Catherine. They were living together at the time, if I remember correctly. And they had a mutual friend named Jonathan. Now, the first experiment that Eli wanted to perform with the Ouija board was to see if they could get messages. Eli is very interested in the paranormal. At one time he was the librarian at the American Society for Psychical Research. He's always been fascinated by legend tripping, all the aspects of ESP, monsters, everything. It interests him. So the first thing they had to do was see if they could get messages. And Jonathan and Catherine, working together, were able to get messages.
We have to stop for this message.
That's fine, sure.
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Locket Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LocketPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LocketPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LocketPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Are you living your passion? Are you pumped to go to work because you get to talk about or work with or do the things that interest you the most? Is working, playing, and relaxing one and the same? As long as you're working for someone else, you'll never be living entirely true to yourself and your passion. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Let me show you how you can work around your current schedule, create the extra income so you can live your passion. Visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com. Radio.recordedvideo.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, call 1-800-939-9634. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU Online Degrees, call 1-800-939-9634. That's 1-800-939-9634.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Robert Damon Schneck is author of Bye Bye Man with Gene and Chris, and we're going back to the story that came through a Ouija board?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
When they began to get messages, it was a little unusual in that normally people that ask a Ouija board questions will get the answer from, let's say you want to talk to Napoleon, and they'll claim that it's Napoleon moving around the planchette. But this was unusual in that the only way they could get messages was through something that called itself the spirit of the board. It was a little bit like a medium's control. You know, when a medium is holding a seance, often they will have a control. That is a spirit that they use to meet or contact other spirits. There have been some famous controls. This medium had a control that called itself the spirit of the board, and it introduced them to a number of spirits that had never lived. That is to say, they had always been spirits. And most of what came through the board was pretty nice, normal stuff about good vibrations and light and love and let's have crystals and things like that. So it was pretty harmless stuff. Eli wanted to push a little further. He wanted to see if they could get messages, if they could still get messages if, for example, Catherine and Jonathan were blindfolded, if the lights were off, if they could get messages through still despite all this kind of interference. And they did. They were still able to get messages despite that. And then he took it a little further. He would write questions in a notebook and concentrate on it and see if they could get them to answer them. They didn't have quite as much luck with that, though he said they did get a few things that suggested something was happening. Finally, he decided that it would be most interesting if they could come in contact with a spirit of someone who had lived, that is to say, an actual ghost-type spirit. Instead of all these spirits that had never existed in the world, he wanted to talk to a spirit that had lived, could get some information from the board, and look it up to verify that this was indeed accurate. And that's what they wanted. That was the next step in the experiments they were doing. Now, the spirit of the board didn't have any luck contacting someone like that, but the spirit told them that he was in contact with somebody who was still alive, but that this person was very evil, and the spirit didn't think it would be a very good idea for them to talk to him. Well, that did it for Eli. This was the one he wanted to talk to. He had to talk to this one because he loves horror. He loves that sort of thing. And Catherine was reluctant, but eventually they forced the spirit of the board to at least convey messages between them and this figure that called itself the Bye-Bye Man. They eventually got the spirit of the board to do it by going on strike. The spirit of the board and the other spirits love to communicate. So they said, we're not going to communicate with you anymore unless you give us messages from the Bye-Bye Man. And that's how, through a long series of sittings, they were able to put together this story. Now, the story that they told was that the Bye-Bye Man had been born in Louisiana sometime in the 1920s. He was an albino. His parents, or parent, we don't know anything about him really, stuck him in an orphanage in a place called Algiers. Now, as the Bye-Bye Man got older, he never gave them any other name besides the Bye-Bye Man. He became more and more restless. He wanted to escape from the orphanage. He ran away. Finally, he was old enough that he attacked a nurse with a pair of scissors, seriously injured her, and escaped and began to ride the rails. Now, there's no explanation for how this happened or where he learned it, but apparently he became involved with voodoo or black magic. And bodies, horribly mutilated bodies, began to turn up by the railroad tracks with their tongues and their eyes missing. And what he was doing was he was collecting their tongues and eyes and putting them in a bag that was called the bag or the sack of gore. And at this point, he was wearing a black pea coat, a broad-brimmed hat. His hair had grown long, and he would wear dark glasses with the lens painted black.
Sounds like Edgar Winter.
Yes, a little bit. What he was doing with those eyes and tongues was he had sewn them together into a monster and somehow brought this monster to life. And this monster was called Gloomsinger. And what this monster did was it helped him find new victims. Now, the Bye-Bye Man found victims by them learning his name. Once a person learned the name the Bye-Bye Man, it turned them into a kind of a beacon. And as long as they thought about that name, he would begin to head in their direction. He would start to ride railroads and come towards them, getting closer and closer for as long as they thought about him. Now, he was blind, but Gloomsinger, his monster, would help him finally close in on the victim. Gloomsinger was all tongues and eyes, so apparently he would walk around on those tongues, locate the victim, and when he found them, he would give off this whistle, and this whistle was a signal to the Bye-Bye Man to come in and kill the victim.
That sounds a little ironic. A monster made of eyes and tongues that couldn't see.
Oh, no. The Gloomsinger could see. The Bye-Bye Man couldn't.
Oh, the Bye-Bye Man was blind. Okay. I'm getting myself confused there.
I'm sorry. I
think I was off getting my nebulizer when you started the story. I'm sorry. Continue.
Oh, that's all right. Anyway, when Catherine heard this story. She was done. She wanted nothing more to do with this. She had a history of strange experiences, and she found them very unpleasant. So even though Eli encouraged her, he really wanted to continue, she was finished. Afterwards, things got a little strange. Jonathan went off. He was going to school in Madison, Wisconsin. They were in a place called Sun Prairie. Catherine could no longer sleep at night. She was having insomnia. She was having nightmares. She was waking up early. Eli was fine. Nothing bothered him. Finally, she was exhausted, and Eli thought he would take her to Wausau, which is his hometown, to a concert. And it was a beautiful spring day. He took her down to this place called Barker Stewart Island. Now, Barker Stewart Island is in the middle of the Wisconsin River, and there's a railroad bridge going across it. Its nickname is Body Island because the bodies of lumberjacks who died upstream would sometimes wash up on Body Island. It was a beautiful afternoon. They were getting ready for the concert. Eli went down to the river. He said there was a turtle down there or something he wanted to look at. Catherine was walking across the railroad bridge when she heard a whistle. Now, hearing a whistle on a railroad bridge is not that strange. It was an active bridge, but she said it didn't sound like a train whistle. It sounded like a human whistle, and it got louder and louder and louder, and she became terrified. She ran off the bridge. She had spent the rest of the day having panic attacks. It was a terrible experience for her. Eli heard nothing. Soon after that, he went to go visit Jonathan in Madison. Now, Jonathan had also been having nightmares. He'd been having trouble sleeping. He'd been waking up early. And he had also had a very strange experience. He lived in the third floor of a boarding house. One night, he was lying in bed when he heard a knock on the door. Catherine was outside the door, and she said, "Hey, Jonathan, come on, let's go get breakfast." And Jonathan drags himself up, and he looks out the window, and he sees it's not morning. It's the middle of the night. And he looks at his clock. And that confirms it. It is the middle of the night. The knocking on the door continues, and Catherine's voice continues to say, "Jonathan, come on out. Let's go get breakfast." He crumples in terror. He collapses on the floor, and in that slit of light underneath the door, he sees a pair of shadows, because there's a light in the hallway, and he sees the shadows of feet outside his door. He spent the rest of the night lying there, terrified. Eventually, the feet went away. Even though it was a boarding house, most likely the front door had been locked. But somehow, something had gotten in and terrified him.
Let's do our break with Robert, Damon, Schneck, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are immersed in such a fascinating story here, Robert Damon Schneck, author of Bye Bye Man. Go on, please.
Well, after that, I think it was soon after that, I believe that Catherine and Eli broke up. Then Catherine and Jonathan began dating, but the story continued in that Eli took this story and he began to tell it on Devil's Night. Now, Devil's Night is what they call the night before Halloween in his part of the country. Where I grew up in Paramus, New Jersey, we called it Cabbage Night. Other people call it Goosey Night. I've heard it called a lot of things. And every Devil's Night, Eli throws a party. The party ends the same way. He has all the guests tell their own personal experiences with ghosts or flying saucers or monsters or psychical phenomena. And then he would tell the story of the Bye-Bye Man. That's where I heard it. I heard it at one of these Devil's Night stories, and it got to me. Like you guys, I have heard a lot of strange stories. I heard a story about some guys who were peeing by the side of the road. They were out hunting when they saw this gigantic Bigfoot pop up and start heading towards them in the whole tall weeds. I've heard stories about light bulbs that would answer questions in code. I've heard monster stories, ghost stories, but this story of the Bye-Bye Man bothered me. I remember the night after the party, lying in bed, looking at that slit of light under my bedroom door, and it stayed with me. When the time came and I was putting together the book, The President's Vampire, I decided I would include it. I came very close to not including it, which would have been a big mistake because it's the most popular story I've ever told, and look, it's a movie. So obviously this story had mass appeal, and I knew it when I heard it. I said, this is too good. So the story entered the book, And then it was optioned. And it was a few years after the story of the Bye-Bye Men was told that the Slender Man appeared. And the funny thing was that that's what I thought the Bye-Bye Man was going to do. I thought the Bye-Bye Man had a good chance of becoming a part of American folklore the way the Slender Man has. I'll be honest, I was jealous when Slender Man appeared, and it suddenly just spread through American folklore the way it has. I mean, the Slender Man is a copyrighted figure. We know who created it. We know the day it first appeared. We know who owns it.
It's a little bit more innocuous, though, compared to the horror and the – it's downright macabre, the Bye-Bye Man. And a lot of people, you know, they'll expose themselves to something like that, but then put it out of mind.
Well, the Slender Man inspired an attempted murder by children, so I'd say it's probably not that innocuous. And again, I'll admit, I was a little jealous when that happened, too, because I thought to myself, my God, imagine the grip on these people's minds that the Slender Man must have. What the Bye-Bye Man will eventually do, I don't know, because the story, since it was optioned and since it was owned by the movie company, they would put a stop to it when pieces of it would appear online, because I noticed that soon after the story was told, variations of it began to appear online right away. So it was undergoing that process of entering folklore when that plug was pulled. Now that the movie's going to be coming out in December. And when that happens, I'm wondering if it's possible that it might again become a part of folklore. We'll see. That's the only thing that we can do is sit and wait.
I would actually bet that I'd put money on the fact that it will. I mean, there's so many people out there that are just yearning for there's so much interest in ghosts and horror and the occult and all these things. There seems to be a real resurgence of interest in these subjects, and this would be a perfect potential meme, you know, super meme.
I'm looking over the credits of the film. Michael Trucco from Battlestar Galactica plays one of the key characters. Faye Dunaway.
When I heard that Faye Dunaway was in it, my jaw fell open. You know, I'm sure everyone involved in this, Doug Jones is terrific, but Faye Dunaway is a movie star. You know, she is somebody like, we're talking someone like Betty Davis and Faye Dunaway.
No. Hey, ever since Bonnie and Clyde and that last scene where she's like getting riddled by machine gun bullets, she kind of wrote her ticket.
Also, Carrie Ann Moss.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we certainly remember her.
There's some star power there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing that she's there. Of course, Matrix, but also the Netflix superhero series Jessica Jones.
Wow. It sounds well, the Weinstein brothers, I mean, you know, this is going to be a major release, and I'm sure with a little bit of publicity, I think it's just perfectly positioned time-wise to really do well. I think that these subjects are really, I think we haven't crested the wave yet on these subjects. I see a real rising interest. I think it's partially due to the success of all the ghost shows. And people then, you know, the reality part of the ghost thing is really, it's kind of waning. And so I think that there's a gap that needs to be filled right now, and this could potentially do that. And much luck on the project. Hopefully you have some sort of back-end arrangement.
I don't know what that means.
Well, okay, if the movie makes a lot of money, they send you a check.
Oh, no. It's just the option. You know, there was, and I understand that. That makes perfect sense, because really the odds were that it never would have happened.
Right, but getting an option extended, that's even more unusual. And, you know, much luck in the project. Obviously, it's going to help you with book sales. No,
that is something we're all very excited about. In fact, the book is also available as an audio book, and they got Scott Brick to do it, which was really great, because there are people who will rent a book just to hear him read it. He's got a incredible voice, and he's an actor, so it comes through in the storytelling.
Just to let our listeners know, the movie's scheduled to premiere on the 9th of December, and apparently a lot of it, or all of it, was filmed in Ohio.
In Cleveland.
Yeah, why is that choice made because of the locations of the story or because very much part it's not as expensive to film in Ohio as it is in L.A.?
Because Cleveland rocks.
Rock and roll!
I don't know how they made their decisions. I assume that part of it was price. It's not a big-budget movie. You know, like a lot of horror movies, it's been done on a relatively modest budget, and it's, you know, it's going to make a profit because they do it on a relatively modest budget. So they did it in Cleveland, and I don't know how much of the original story they used, but Cleveland is a railroad hub. So if they used a lot of the railroad part of the story, it makes sense to have filmed it there. Also, of course, Cleveland was the site of the Mad Butcher of Kingsbury Run, who was a serial killer who actually did leave bodies, who murdered people in by the train tracks. And so there is at the right time for the Bye Bye Man. So there's a little bit of cross current there.
Yeah, and it may have changed the location in the movie to Ohio as well.
They might have. I really don't know. Like I said, I honestly don't know what they've done. All I know is what I've seen in the trailer. And of course, I've had the chance to chat online with people like Doug Jones, which is just so exciting for me. You know, writers spend almost all of their time alone. And the idea that you go from spending years writing by yourself to suddenly that you might be flying off to Hollywood to attend a movie premiere with Faye Dunaway, that just doesn't even seem real.
Looking over here about who else is involved, the director's name is Stacy Title. What a name for a movie director.
Title. Yeah, it is. And she's done several horror movies, and her husband, John Penner, wrote the screenplay. And he's well known from reality shows. I think he was One Survivor or something. I'll be honest, I don't know.
She also won among her credits. There was a TV movie based on The Lone Ranger. It didn't do very well in 2003. She was involved with that as a producer, a writer, and so, you know, she had involvement on that. Mm-hmm. And she was also involved in the movie called Last Supper.
Yeah, again, I really don't know anything about this. I'm going to go in when the movie premieres. I'm going to go in, I'm going to say hello to everyone, and I'm going to get the hell out, because that is just so unlike anything I have anything to do with. I'm a little spooked by it, to be honest.
It's got to be surreal. We have the surreal Robert Damon Schnick with the surreal Gene and the surreal Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.